Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love His ways. I love His will. I love His purpose. I love His people. I love all that He has to say to us. Today is December the 26th. It's Monday, December 27th, 2021. And I thank the Lord for this glorious day that the Lord our God has made. His return is imminent too. And I thank God that it is. You know, the Lord loves us and we have so much to be thankful for. In this season and in life itself, He gives us a new day every day. Every day is another day that the Lord has graced us with. And I thank God that His grace is still on board. Now remember, grace lasts until Jesus comes back. And those that don't get raptured, if they hail the truth and unrighteousness, the Lord is going to send strong delusion that they will believe a lie because they didn't walk in the glory that they were offered. But in the judgment process, there will be those that honestly never heard the gospel. And the Lord's going to, grace is still going to be towards His people, anybody that still wants it. But when Jesus comes back, Revelation gives us the discourse how the great tribulation will go down. But the Lord is moving His people out of the way. He's moving His people out of His way, not the Antichrist. But that's not the focus of today's message. The Lord has so much for us. We can still make a difference until He do return and take us off earth, if we follow on and know Him. And that's what I want to talk about, higher standards. As I began to know the Lord, when I first got saved, I was introduced to the Lord. I was so glad that I got saved before the rapture happened, because people used to talk about it a lot in the 80s. And you know, we used to expect to be raptured, in a way. We knew it could come at any moment. We didn't really expect to see the year 2000 as Christians. We thought the Lord might return. Now, some people wanted the Lord to return because their life was painful. And as I got to know Him, the pain that I endured went away. And my life is not painful anymore because I learned who He is. Now, look, let's take a look at some of the things that the Lord said. As we draw near to the Lord will definitely draw near to us. He can't wait to draw near to us. And the Lord, a good teacher simplifies things so you can understand it. And that's what the Holy Spirit has done for me. That's why my life is not painful anymore. I took time with my Father, and that made the difference. But watch what Jesus said. If you ever wonder about life, go back and find what Jesus said. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He loves His people. God is about love, folks. You know, let's start at verse 25. That's a good one. He said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from babes. I'm sorry, I messed that up. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. This is a very key point. Jesus wants to reveal the Father to us. And He sent the Holy Spirit to pick up where He left off. Okay, verse 28, He's talking to His people. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus always appeals to the humble. When you bear the light of the Word of God, when you share light, you're going to attract people that wants it. And the light also exposes darkness, and they always flee. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, we live in a world that's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. Even though those that say they love him, if they have lust, pride, or greed, they're anti-God. See, John summed up the ways of the world. It's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Lust, pride, and greed. Lust, greed, and pride. Same thing. So that's what God is not. He's not lust, he's not greed, and he's not pride. And that's what Satan is. You know, he made his decisions because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's what he goes on. That's why he's a monster now. That's why he's an enemy, a devil. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." Then he said, "This is what I want to show people. Learn of me. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You can't learn of him unless you are willing to do what he does and live like he lives. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But when you're doing it the worldly way, it's heavy. And you want to exit this place. You want to get raptured. You want to get away from your life, the life that God has given you. See, the people of this world, they're more skilled at operating their system than we are of ours. We have to learn how the ways of God is. We have to take the yoke of Jesus upon us and learn of him. You know, there's a mirror scripture to this, you know, in the Old Testament, Hosea 6. See, when you get to know the Lord, when you have a relationship, you're going to win where you used to lose. You're going to win good, and your life won't be painful anymore. Hosea 6. Verse 1, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us." See, he did surgery. He got rid of the pride of man, the greed of man, and the lust of man. "Come and let us return unto the Lord." They went away scattered because they got into idolatry, lust, pride, greed. "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." Now watch this. "After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." See, this is prophetically about Jesus. He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth redeeming us. Shed his blood to do it. But watch this part. Verse 3. "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." How many people would actually do that? "Then shall we know for ourselves," not just the reference of others. "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." And he'll help us bring forth fruit. Our lives will have purpose, his purpose. He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Don't just take his yoke upon you, but take his yoke upon you and learn of him. See, if you're willing to go the long haul, that's how you're going to learn of him. And he's going to teach you how to conquer in this life. He taught his disciples in 3.5 years. He taught Paul in 3.5 years. So he can get you on board, but you have to take your yoke up. You have to decide, I'm going to learn of him. I'm going to do this. When I didn't know what to do in the most disasters of my life, didn't know how to fix my life, didn't know how to make it right, wishing the rapture would just come take me out of this, the Lord taught me step by step. And I enjoyed his presence step by step, more and more. The more I learned and had more to work with, the better it got. And Jesus told the truth. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you learn how he works, if you learn of him. But you can't learn of him distracted with the world. Focused on the world. Focused on worldly things. You got to get rid of lust, pride, and greed. Lust, greed, and pride. Or greed, lust, and pride. That's the order John gave it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Get rid of lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Get rid of pride. And everything that's associated with it. You know, when people get in pride, they always get in fear. If you want to get rid of fear, get rid of pride. If you want to get rid of pride, get rid of fear. Because they're attached and they work together. All the core religions of the world, they're fear-based. While following Jesus is love-based. Or pride-based. The worldly religions they use fear tactics. And because it's pride-based, really, it's pride-based, so they use fear tactics. The truth of God's word is love-based. So, faith is the way. The just shall live by his faith. We're attached to God by faith. We receive his promises by faith because God is love. But Satan is different. He's the opposite. He hates you. So he uses fear, fear and pride, unbelief, things like that. He accused God to be a liar in your eyes. And it tempts you to do something that fancies that you would fancy in your flesh or your mind or appeal to you through greed, make you look better than others, foolishness. And see, everything that people did in those days, they were becoming free. Satan didn't just sit back and watch them receive the rest and the promised land of God. I'm not talking about Israel. I'm not talking about the land. I'm talking about the kingdom. He didn't just sit back and watch them have fun in the Holy Ghost. You know, the joy of the Lord, right? The kingdom of God is more than just meats and clothes, what you wear and Sabbath days. It's joy and peace, righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. He didn't just sit back and watch people have a good time. He interfered. He tried to get them to go back to the law. Hey, the law will make you righteous, not Jesus. So in modern times, guess what happened? The doctrine of sanctification, they meant well. I get that. People shouldn't do things that's not good for them. But the problem was they tried to qualify you by what you didn't do. Now you're easing back into works again, salvation by works. I'm not saved because I do right. I'm saved because I believed on Jesus who did right for me. He made me righteous. He gave me the ability to do right. So I'm not trying to pay God back by doing right. He saved me from the sin that was continually cursing me and gave me his life, which continually blesses me. And I do right because it's my nature now. He gave me the ability to walk in his love, and that's what I do. And it's normal for me. Jesus said, let your light shine. I don't have to make it shine. He gave me that light, and I just allow it to continue and do what it do. And I make decisions by the word of God, which is light. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, which is light. That's how I got righteous. And I want to do what's right. I don't want to do evil to anybody. I don't want what belongs to others. I want to earn my money. And those that help me bear the burden of the ministry, I welcome it. But that's not for me. That's to help me do what God does. They're entering in. And see, when they give me money to do what I'm doing, I add it to what we're doing. It's not for me. It's for the ministry, all of it. And so the Lord helps me be a good steward because I love him. I don't have to steal, kill, and destroy like the devil. I'm not the devil. I'm born again to be like Jesus. He didn't give me salvation to act like his enemy. That doesn't make sense. And I don't want to act like him. And I don't want to smell like the devil in God's nostrils. I don't want to do anything that remind him of that creep. And he was a wonderful angel when God first made him, but he got into pride through lust and greed. He's something else now. And he's something that I do not want to be, and I was delivered from being like. Now, so as I learned to walk in the way, in the light of God's word, I didn't just learn of God and that's all. No, I drove out the likeness of Satan. I drove out fear, doubt, unbelief. I drove out pride. I never was a person that tried to upstage others that I know of anyway. But when I saw that God hates pride, I spoke with my mouth that I hate pride. And I asked the Lord to teach me how to love people. I took my yoke upon him. So I took his position on love. So as he taught me to love, I applied it, and it works. He gave me a writing one time, doing what blesses only. I said, that's a good concept. What if I did everything, every action I ever did from now on was godly? That became my goal. And people don't always understand that. However people think, that's how they think you think. To the pure, everybody's pure. To the forward, nobody's pure. Not even God. Nothing's righteous. You know, if you study Titus chapter 1, you'll see, if you look at the whole chapter now, don't just pick out that phrase, but look at the whole chapter in its setting. To the pure, everybody's pure. But to those that are froward, nothing is pure. So Satan even think, he thought Job would be like him, right? He thought Job would act like he did. He thought the things that appealed to him would appeal to Job, but they didn't. Because Job loved God, and he feared the Lord. And because he feared the Lord, the things of Satan didn't appeal to him. See, the way the fear of the Lord works, if it's wrong, you'll have conviction. And if there's any love in you, it will work. The fear of the Lord will, you'll come back to balance. But when you lose the love of God, the fear of the Lord won't work on you. But it worked on Job. When he didn't understand what was going on. He said he didn't understand. But he also gave the reason for why everything happened. He said, the things I greatly feared has come upon you. Fear is worldly. It's an attachment to the world system. And Satan wasn't even clever enough to see that the gate was open. God did not open the gates. Job did, through fear. So as I drove fear out of my life, I walked in greater freedom. I was free to learn more from the Lord. It's hard to learn when you have doubt and unbelief in your system. But when you drive it out, it's so much easier to learn. When you're attracted to the love of God, it's easy to receive from him. Now let's look at Isaiah 28. We operate over time. We receive his word step by step. Isaiah 28. The Lord loves us and he thinks of everything. He put everything in motion. If you want to know God, this is a process that you, it's a way of life. It's not a get rich quick scheme. It's not something you're going to pick up in one day. It begins, your salvation begins in one moment. But learning of God happens over time. Isaiah 28. Let's see. I'll just start at verse 2. Well, let's just start at verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. See, pride causes you to decline from the point that you began it. And people never, isn't, I don't know of any scripture where somebody came out of pride and went to the Lord, except for the closest one is Adonibezek. He cut off the king, the thumbs and great toes of all the kings around it. But he had enough sense when it happened to him. He said, "The Lord has requited me." He said, "I cut." He cut. He admitted what he had done. He cut off the thumbs and great toes of all the kings that he conquered, and let them eat bread under his table, like they were his dogs. See, you can't balance and fight without your thumbs and toes. And he mocked him. And then that happened to him. He said, "The Lord has repaid me or requited me." He had enough sense to say that. But all the other people that got into gross pride, I don't know. You know, I hope Solomon came out of it when he gave heed to his witched wives. But you know, in Ephesians, I think it was chapter 4, it says, "So I returned," and I hope that meant that he came back to the Lord. Nevertheless, you know, he wrote the Proverbs while he had a relationship, and in Ephesians, he wrote about his time where he was out of relationship. That's what I believe, and I think that's true. Okay, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he looketh upon it, seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, people that broke through. And didn't get they broke through the culture of the day. They didn't get involved with the pride. God always has a remnant. Don't kid yourself. The 400,000 years, I know God had a remnant then. Maccabee proved it. Verse 6. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Let's look at 5 again. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. People that are dedicated will win in battle, in their personal battle, and then in their outer battle, that the battle of the enemy. Verse 7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. The wine that they're drunk with is their doctrine, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, basically. The strong drink represents their thinking process, their doctrine. That's why when Jesus came to his own knew him not. Verse 8, for the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. The things they believe is just wrong. Verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? Jesus said that, told the Pharisees, you look high and low to make a proselyte, and when you find one, you make him twofold more the child of hell. That doctrine, it's all messed up. Verse 10, He said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue would he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear, because they were drunk with their wine, their evil, poisonous doctrine of pride, full of fear, unbelief, hatred, and witchcraft. They got seduced by the enemy. Their doctrine is wrong. Then they tried to impose it on people that were free. And it happened again in modern times. The doctrine of sanctification was presented in the Pentecostal church and other churches, holiness churches. And people, they gave rules. If you don't do these bylaws, you're not saved. That's how people treated you. But see, this is why I'm bringing this up. If you get to know, there are so many people wounded by that doctrine. Now, I'm not excusing the moral law. Everybody, Jesus gave us the ability to fulfill it. And I'm not saying go and break the moral law. The Ten Commandments define the moral law. You know, have no other God before you. Honor your father and mother. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep the rest of God in you. Keep the peace of God in you. Operate according to the love of God. Don't lust after other people's wives and be greedy after their belongings. And don't try to upstage others and be better than others. All that stuff is witchy. So I believe in the moral law. I believe in the Ten Commandments. I believe in the love of God because the love of God fulfills the law. The love of God fulfills the law. How can you produce the doctrines against the law and you're full of the love of God? You cannot. It's impossible. If you're born of God, it's impossible for you to sin. You're born again. You fill your heart with the word. You learn to walk in his way. That's what being born of God is. Being born again is getting saved in the first place. Being born of God is filling your heart with the love of God and having a relationship with the Lord and growing up until you become mature. It's impossible for you to go back into sin again. And it's been proven. But cold religion, they tell you where you... Women can't wear pants. Women can't wear jewelry. They can't wear, not wearing a particular garment don't make you righteous. But see, now in culture, Jesus said it this way, if you don't build with me, you scatter. But there are so many people wounded because others were in pride, greed, lust. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. I can show examples all day. I used to just watch and listen. And I've been going to church all my life. And I've seen so many people wounded by dead doctrines. That's why I'm bringing it up. Some people have been wounded and they didn't have nobody to help them come back to balance again. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 2. This is Paul talking. For I would see people get off track when they're not focused on the Lord. If you're focused on the Lord, the devil can't get you off track. But when you don't know, and then people are teaching wrong, it's hard to get on. It's hard to understand what God is doing. Colossians 2, they get you off sight of the love of God, which messes up everything. If Satan can change your focus, he changes you with it and takes you and causes you to be hindered, so that your light can't shine. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would, or I wish, that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. This is very interesting. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, assurance of and all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Read that too again. He said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now that's what I long for people to receive. But then watch verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As I have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then he said this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, Satan's trying to get you drunk like the Ephraimites was in Isaiah 28. Drunk with cold religion that can't help you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. See, we're complete in Jesus, and he's head of all principality and power. There's no kingdom greater than Jesus. In whom also so you are circumcised without the circumcision made without. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who has